It's Tuesday, May 2nd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcasts.com. Aloha, everyone. I've got a great show lined up for you tonight. Get ready because, here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. And hey, for all of you that are long-term subscribers, hey, thanks for being part of the family, being part of the Ohana here, and thanks for staying subscribed. It has been a very interesting weekend, and of course, Friday I had my surgery. We'll talk a little bit about that. And I'll be honest with you, it is about 90 degrees in this office right now. And my oldest son, he had turned off the AC for some unknown reason. Apparently, he was cold downstairs or something. But I kept saying to my wife, is it hot in here or what? And I went downstairs and the AC had been turned completely off. And when you've got two or three computers running, you just do not catch up from that type of temperature differential. But I hope everyone is well. I hope everyone's had a great day back to work. I am not at work, did not go to work today. I'm actually off for the next 2 weeks, and we'll talk about that a little bit. And of course, for those of you checking out the show for the very first time, make sure you get over and visit geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the archive podcasts and sign up for our mailing list. That will allow you to get our newsletter, which is essentially the show notes for this show delivered to your inbox immediately upon me essentially posting the show to the net. I turn right around and send that out. Now, seeing that I'm recording this show on the evening of May 1st, I don't often get a chance at the beginning of the month to actually put out my plug. But for those of you that feel I'm worthy, go over to Podcast Alley and vote for the show over there. I'll have a link in the show notes tonight. All you need to really do is click on the vote link, and it'll take you over to the website, and you'll put in your email address and submit it, and then a confirmation email will come that allow you to vote for the show. I would definitely appreciate it. It's my once a month essential beg. The only thing I really ask from you guys once a month to do. And if you can do that, I definitely appreciate it. And again, it'll be in the show notes. And those of you who are on the newsletter will have it a real easy link to click through to vote and link. That makes sense. Vote and link. Link and vote. Okay, there we go. Okay, well, what happened on Friday? After I got done doing the show about, I think I got done early on Thursday evening, got the show posted. I was actually able to crawl in bed about 11 o'clock, and I really didn't know what to think for the next day. So I kind of had prepared some stuff here. I had some my gear rearranged, so in case I couldn't actually sit at a desk, I was able to have the computer at least available if I was going to be in a lazy boy or something. So I kind of worked on getting things arranged and woke up early Friday morning and checked email, got everything knocked out. Had to be over at the hospital at 8:30 a.m. local here in Honolulu, and arrived over there, got checked in with the receptionist, and actually did all the signing your life away to make sure that the hospital has all the info you need. So I was over at Tripler Army Medical Center, and I proceeded up to their surgery clinic and didn't sit in the waiting room too long. They came and got me and made sure the blood pressure was good and did some pre-screening stuff for the surgery. And then I got changed, and it was like boom, 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 right in like this assembly line. I think I sat in the waiting room maybe a total of 30 to 40 minutes, which was not bad at all. And they took me back to the general ward. I got on a gurney. They came in, and the anesthesiologist came in and hooked up the IV, got me in one stick, which was real good. Of course, they came through three or four times. I think there was at least, I got asked at least five times what my Social Security number was, what I was there for, and if they had marked me. Of course, they had put this mark next to my belly button, essentially, that marked what they were going to do. And so I was jokingly talking to him, let's make sure we don't cut off a leg while we're in there. And And so it was maybe 10 o'clock, probably by the time I got started rolling towards the surgery clinic, and they had gave me a little bit of a shot of something, and I was like, yeah, this is a pretty good drive in the in the gurney, and got into the surgery room, and I remember him lifting the gown up to put on one of those heart monitor deals where they hook you up to that to make sure that your ticker's still ticking. And I remember him putting one of those pasties on there, and lights went out. And they had given me something apparently before, and then they hadn't given me the real good stuff yet. But a couple hours in surgery, came out, and of course, then woke up in recovery. And gosh, it wasn't very long. I was in recovery, oh, I don't know, maybe an hour, I don't know. And then it wasn't too long after that that I actually was in a room. They brought me into a room on a in a in a wheelchair, and I transferred to a kind of a lazy boy type setup, and was in there for a couple hours. I guess by 2:30 I get called my wife and said, well, I think they're gonna let me go. And she came and got me, and I think by 2:30 I was out of there. So you go, it's just amazing. You go in for surgery in the morning and you walk out in the afternoon. They fixed my hernia and everything looks good. I came home, and essentially, besides being a little sore, everything was good. Couldn't complain. Really, really couldn't. Everything went good on the everything went good, and the recovery so far has been good. I'm off 2 weeks from work, which I can't quite figure out, but hey, who's going to complain about being off work? And otherwise, it's all good. A lot of things have been going on. What's been happening? Well, first of all, we got a Shoutcast server up over on PCN, or at Podcaster News. So that's in regards to we're running the stream in Second Life in our office in PCN in Second Life, and we're also running the stream available to anybody that wants to check it out online, which they can do. And that's been going real well. I'm real happy with that. I'm actually going to make some changes here, and one of the listeners of the show has offered to help me out and put it on one of the dedicated servers. So we're probably going to get that put on one of our boxes that we have. I'm using a third party service, but we think the bandwidth is going to be manageable where we can handle it on that. The live roundtable went down on Saturday. That all went good. It had a nice crowd. And having a little problem though, so this is where I need some help for those of you out there, for those of you that do any video editing. When the roundtable was going on, I did a screen capture this time with Camtasia, and I really liked that application. It worked real well. But what I wanted to do was make sure that when we got all done, that the encoding was set so that the Mac users would be able to watch the video as well, because I've gotten some complaints in the past that when we put it up in WMV format, that Mac users weren't able to view the video. So I wanted to publish it in a .mov, something QuickTime. But you know what I ran into was a just an, I when I encoded it in WMV, the 82-minute roundtable was about 100 megs in size, was the size of the file. But anything that I've done, be able to encode in MOV, either in H.264 or MPEG-4, format, has ended up in sizes, file sizes like 310 megs. Okay, I am not a video guru. I know that somebody out there is. So what I need help in is I need help on how to take a Camtasia screen capture. I need to be able to convert that recording into, which has got audio in it as well, into a format that Mac users and Windows users can be able to view with a linked file on the internet. If it's going to have to be 300 megs, it'll have to be 300 megs, but there's got to be something I'm doing wrong. So if anyone out there is a Camtasia user, let me know. I definitely want to hear from you. This is I banged my head against the wall for a couple hours today trying to figure this out. Why the file, I could put it up in a WMV format. It looks great. Could put it up in the MOV format as well. But the difference between a 100 meg download and a 320 meg download is quite a difference. I don't want to deal with it. So if anybody's got any ideas, let me know. Otherwise, I may have to put up both copies. We'll see. Anyway, hey, today is the birthday of Geek News Central. Geek News Central, the actual website, turns 4 years old today. The first post on that was May 1st of 2002. I was going to play a little happy birthday music, but no need for that anyway. 6,033 posts was what the number came to over the last 4 years. So a lot of content over there. Hey, we are going to have this Friday, we're going to announce the winner of the Neuros Recorder 2 contest. Okay, some of the entries have slowed down a little bit. So today will be essentially your last chance. So that is the code word of the day, last chance. This will be your last chance to get your entries in and for that $149 value. And there'll be some questions on the website that you'll see, and you'll be able to go over to the website and find the actual answers to that. We've got a whole bunch of people in, but on Friday's show, I'll announce the winners to it, and we've got it sitting here, so I'll be able to mail that immediately out to the winner. So again, this is the last chance for the contest, and we're going to announce on Friday. But like I said, the roundtable went real well on Saturday. Of course, we used GoToMeeting. Of course, getting to and from meetings can be a real waste of time and money. And just like living here in Hawaii, it's not essentially easy for me just to fly somewhere for a half-day training session. But save time and money online by using GoToMeeting. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. No credit card required. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. Again, GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast for your free 30-day trial. No credit card required. Okay, I've got a big lineup of stuff today. I've got some real good stuff to talk about on rants. I'm at 12 minutes, so we're a little ahead of my normal schedule. I don't know if we're going to be able to get done in 45 today or not, but definitely going to try. Let me open up a couple of things. I've got just an absolute stack of stuff in the pile here from just what I found in news today, and there's gonna be a lot of good stuff. So we'll get into that here in a second. But of course, as always, we want to highlight our major sponsor here, GoDaddy, and want to make sure that you save some money with them. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99 plus world class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Plus, as a Geek News Central listener, enter the code Todd, that's T-O-D-D, when you check out and save an additional 10% on any order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. And thanks for GoDaddy for being a continued sponsor here at the Geek News Central podcast. Okay, let's go right into what I've got lined up today. There's a new site. I saw a link to it via Robert Scoble's blog called Raw Sugar, rawsugar.com. And this is kind of a new search engine that allows you to kind of help contribute to their database. Number one, they do some aggregating of content, but primarily the users of the site can set it up so that you can sync your blogs to their index. So they actually will be pulling it in. And I played around with it a little bit, and it was seemed to be a little bit slow on returning search results. I'm sure it was getting hit pretty hard, but very, very different in the way it lays things out and uses tagging in a way that I have not seen done before. So get over to Raw Sugar over at rawsugar.com, and you can check out the link there and check out the website. Let me know what you think about the search results. And I think this is going to get better over time. It looks like one of these sites that will definitely get better. My wife's leaving the office. Do you want to say bye, honey? She's been putting stuff on Craigslist tonight. So she's trying to get that stuff sold so we can get a flat screen TV. Okay. Good news, actually, great news coming out of the Podcast Academy that was in Boston. Sounds like everyone that was there had a great time. But Podcast Academy number 3 is coming together, and it's going to be in Santa Clara, California, June 15th and 16th. And they're going to have 110 seats available. And people that are going to be there are Paul Figiani from The Point. He's a very good friend of mine. You can find his show at thepoint.com and also over at, actually, it's not at thepoint.com. It's at PT. I'll actually put the link up in the show notes to his website. But if you are interested in getting podcasting gear, he has a good site called Podcast Rigs as well. Twit's going to be there with Leo Laporte, Tim Borkin from the Podcast Brothers and the Portal Media and Podcast Expo. He's going to be there for the class. And Doug, of course, will be there. Now, I'm actually going to be in Vegas June 12th and 13th. So I haven't decided yet if I'm going to blast over and volunteer at my services or not to Doug at all. I guess it depends on what my schedule is shaping up for June. But yeah, again, I'm going to be in Vegas in June. So if any of you that are listening to the show in Vegas want to hook up, let me know. We'll get together and be staying there for a couple of days while giving some keynote to some educators. Okay, as well, Apple has a very, those of you that are Mac users, you are going to get an absolute kick out of the new advertising campaign that the Apple has come up with. And it's essentially six different themes. And of course, it follows along with some of the things that they've continually been saying and playing out, viruses, restarting, better, iLife, network, and one that's called the Wall Street Journal, which is kind of funny too. So all of them make you smile. It doesn't matter if you're a Mac or a Windows user, you'll get a kick. And some, of course, the Windows users might be a little bit grumbling, but I'm sure those of you that are Mac users will get a smile out of this. Okay, kind of on the science front, I don't normally talk about this stuff as early in the program as this, but I found an article on at nature.com that talks about how stem cells are going to be used in some trials now to help heal broken hearts. So those that are having cardiology problems or have had heart attacks, they're starting to think that stem cells, and there is some evidence that stem cells are actually helping hearts not necessarily repair themselves, maybe even regenerate. And a lot of speculation yet, but they're in actual trial right now that looks very, very promising. So if you are into checking out what's going on in the science front, especially in the health field, you'll definitely want to check this link out. Now, this was posted on the 27th of April, but I thought it was important enough to talk about it on the show. And because, you know, heart disease is a major issue for a lot of us. And especially those of you that are older, you know, you've lived maybe a little bit larger life than you should and haven't exercised as much, you know, you may be facing heart disease. So, you know, there's no magic bullet, but it looks like science continues to push the frontiers here and what they can do to help repair the damage that we've done to ourselves. Okay, Yahoo announced yesterday a site called Yahoo Tech. It's at tech.yahoo.com. And this is kind of a tech site that they're kind of classifying for the average person. This is not necessarily a super geek site. And I kind of hope that they're going to follow the same kind of guidelines I try to do in this show. Now, some of you will say, Todd, sometimes you talk over our head. But what I try to do in this show is I try to break technology down in a way that will, you know, allow all of you to connect, no matter what your technical expertise level. And, you know, I don't know all the answers all the time either. So it's, you know, we all kind of learn on this journey together. And I think that this website is at tech.yahoo.com is an attempt to do that as well. And I noticed right off the get-go that they are using a tag cloud on the website, and they've got places where you can ask questions and get hooked up with the right type of person and find stuff on information on product categories from computers, home office, Wi-Fi, phones and PDAs, camcorders, TV home theater, and portable audio. So a lot of good stuff there to look over at tech.yahoo.com. Okay, Google today is complaining that Microsoft plans to steal traffic and advertisers. And what this is stemming from is that upon the release of Internet Explorer 7, Microsoft is going to make MSN as the default search engine for IE7. Now, Microsoft is saying right off the get-go, hey, don't. It's just like, you know, the current IE where you can change change the actual search engine, which is the default. And they're saying it's going to be the same with IE7. You're going to be able to change it, but when it comes preloaded, which makes sense, you know, that now Microsoft has gotten in trouble before with the Justice Department and the EU for these kind of what they call discriminatory practices. But, you know, when they were picking on Netscape and some of these other companies, you know, they really whacked them hard. But Google, come on, Google's a big company now. They can compete on equal footing. I think they've actually, I don't know if they've got more cash reserves than Microsoft does or not, but, you know, they've got a lot of advertising at stake. So Google does not want just the average user, you know, and the average user that doesn't have a clue on what's going on with search, except for the simple fact that, you know, they type a search into a little search box and it gives them results. Google's afraid they're going to lose a lot of money. Now, if you'll notice, now it's like they want their cake and eat it too. Google is heavily vested in promoting Firefox. And, you know, there is some ulterior motive here. And I got to thinking about it today a little bit, thinking, oh, okay, well, Google's going to really help Firefox. Well, what is the default search on Firefox? And if you kind of look at it, well, Google falls in there pretty close to the top of the line. And, of course, their browser toolbar integration is going to kind of be made irrelevant with IE7. So that's another concern on Google's part. So we can't get past the fact that most people that are still using, that are not super geeky and that are not worried about, those that are not worried about security or those that aren't informed about security, may be using IE7 still, or forced to use IE7. So it's just by default, Google's going to kind of be pushed to the side. So they're trying to make a case. I don't know what's going to happen here, but they're going to beef up their lobbying efforts and everything. Now, it's Microsoft's product when it boils down to it. And I'm sure the majority of you that use IE7 and are dialed in are probably going to just go ahead and switch it to the search engine of your choice. But Google's not going to take this laying down. Now, breaking news of the day is the broadcast flag is back, and you knew this was going to happen. It appears that Senator Ted Stevens, a Republican out of Alaska, and the person that inspired the IPAC organization to send iPods to all the senators, has taken the opportunity to slip the broadcast flag into a bill, into a telecommunications bill. And, you know, it's one of these bills that's laden with pork, has all kinds of little custom things for the senators, all their little pet projects, and yet he's going to help the Hollywood establishment by dropping this into the Perform Act bill. This guy. Those of you, if any of you are listening to this show up in Alaska, you know, I think you need to have a discussion with him. Call his office. Make some comments. This broadcast flag, for those of you that are not dialed in on that, what that's going to do is, if you have a digital video recorder and you like to record your programs, let's say you record a sports program. Well, let's say the NFL or NBA does not want you to record that and they set the broadcast flag bit, it'll prevent your DVR from recording the event, which essentially will disallow you from you know, having fair use of the content that you're paying for. And we're going to talk a little bit more about fair use in TV, because there's been some more developments today, as also in this the Slingbox, the little media player they put out. So, you know, it's just, again, more infringement on your fair use rights, and they're going to do everything they can. These agencies and organizations are going to try to shut down. You know, they're going to try to take this stuff away from you, do whatever they can, because guess what? They don't want you to own the content. They want you to continue to pay them so they can get rich. Okay, over on the Google Earth blog, there's a site that they're highlighting here. It's called Where's Tim? And it's actually at timhibbard.com. But this guy has a GPS-enabled phone, which is tied into a tracking system that allows people to go to the website, a Google Earth derivative, and actually track where Tim's walking around. Can you imagine giving a phone to someone, or having a phone that when it was on would give your position back to someone purposely tracking you? No way. Sorry. Talk about privacy infringement. Well, he does this on purpose because he is a member of a company, or actually an employee of a company called NGraph, which sells GPS tracking software. So it's a good marketing for his employer, and you can find information about NGraph over at ngraph.com. And of course, they'll have the link to Tim's tracking site and the information on the Google Earth blog as well. Okay, those of you that are Mac OS X users who have MacBook Pros, on May 20th, there's going to be a protest by those users that are going to be they're requesting that all MacBook Pro users that have whining and heat issues with their PCs should call Apple support on that day and tell them about it. So apparently, there's been a lot of complaints in the Apple support forums on overheating issues with the MacBook Pro. And I may have actually found a conjoining article today that talks about maybe the causes of that overheating. And I'll get to that here in a little bit. But if you've got a heating issue with your MacBook Pros, mark the Saturday, May 20th on your calendar. And that's the day that the mini protest is going to go down with Apple support. Now, here's the question. They're doing this on a Saturday. Is Apple support even open on a Saturday? I'm sure they are, but they're going to overwhelm them. I'm sure they have reduced staffs on the weekends. And what a week wouldn't go by without the RIAA raising some sort of a stink. But in its latest attempts to decrease file sharing, it sent out notices to 40 universities in 25 states informing them that file sharing is occurring on their campuses. Oh, big surprise. But what they want to do is these letters are trying to get them to shut down the file sharing that's going on in the local network there within the colleges. So students aren't stupid. You know, they're getting music. I mean, they might be buying it, but what they're doing is they're sharing it. They're putting it up and available on the network within the campus. And, of course, they're buzzing it back and forth to their friends and sharing everything. You know, go ahead, RIA, crack down some more, because guess what the kids are going to do? They've got thumb drives. They've got portable hard drives. They're just going to sneaker net stuff back and forth. That's all they're going to do. You're not going to slow this down. You know, you're not going to slow college kids down from getting the music they want. You know, a lot of college kids are broke, flat out broke, you know, and of course they're going to go out and get music. Not to say that it's right, but it's going to happen. So the RIAA is going to go after these campuses saying you need to stop this. You need to put some priority on curbing this traffic and to stop this network piracy. You know, what is the RIAA doing? Going into campuses and sniffing the networks to see that that's going on? Is that how they're finding this out? That's the question now. That's the question of how they derive on an internal network of a college that this is going on. What is their proof? That is a question that needs to be asked. Does that make you feel good that maybe if you have college kids in school, that the RIAA is sniffing or on these networks? How can they tell otherwise? That's the question that needs to be answered. It really, really does. Okay, those of you that have KVM switches, and those of you that are saying, what's a KVM? Well, how many of you have multiple computers, but yet only one monitor? KVM switches allow you to switch between different monitors, different computers within the same monitor. I have one that's down here below my feet. I actually have to kind of lean down and click on it. It's a 4-port KVM. And I essentially have all of my PCs running through a couple of monitors. So, but, you know, KVM has been around for a long time. But Belkin is taking it up a notch where the KVM that I have now, I can either hit my scroll bar, scroll lock twice, and then a page down on the master keyboard, and it will change the actual screen, the screen monitor. Or I can reach down and push the button on the actual Belkin KVM switch. Well, they're making it real easy, folks. They're going to give you a remote control. So, you know, you've got a remote control for your TV. Can you imagine trying to find the remote control for your KVM switch on your desk? What do your guys' desk look like? I know my desk. They're going to have to put some Velcro on that bad boy so I can stick it somewhere I can find it, probably right up on the monitor. But, yeah, you'll be able to make a switch of monitors just by clicking a little remote control. Very innovative, keeps everything hid completely. Now, the question is, what kind of distance and range is this thing's going to have? Because, you know, where I've got mine stashed, unless, I don't know, we'll have to see. But I'm definitely interested. So now you'll be able to hide those cables a little bit better. And when the keyboard commands doesn't work, you'll be able to use the actual little remote control. Okay, here's the article I found on Engadget that talks about MacBook Pros overheating due to thermal grease. And what has happened is one of the guys that has a MacBook Pro, His PC was heating up to 129 degrees Fahrenheit on the keyboard. Oh my goodness. And he had called Apple support, wasn't getting no satisfaction. So he cracked it open and voided his warranty and found a dearth of the silver paste. And this is essentially this thermal grease is good to be used, but it's not supposed to be globbed on. It really isn't. A very thin coat does the job. But he took and cleaned this all up, and what he has found is a 26 degree drop with an IR reading on his keyboard. So that's significant, folks. That's a significant drop. And if this is the case, then, you know, if you are not getting any satisfaction from Apple and you're not too scared to go underneath the hood, this may be a solution to cool your MacBook Pro off. And if not, then call on May 20th and demand that they do something and fix this. Okay, NASA has put on hold additional shuttle tank modifications. They've decided last Friday that they are going to leave in place a number of the phone ramps on the shuttle's external tank. They're not going to make any more changes. And, of course, there's still a decision to fly is going to be made on a flight readiness review is going to be made on June 16th. But at this point, Discovery is still scheduled for launch on mission STS-121 during a launch window that opens up on July 1st. So looking forward to getting the shuttle back in the air. And hopefully all these repairs to the tanks that they made are going to result in a very successful flight. And we can get back in space business full time here with the shuttles. All right, I'm sure you've heard about it, but Napster.com is now free. And Napster unveiled today the new Napster.com. It's an interactive ad-supported free online music destination. So they do have some paid services, of course, but everything now on the website is ad-supported. You can get streaming MP3s and a full line of material off their network for free. You don't have to pay. And I don't know about you, but I may just have to check it out. I really should. It's going to be free is good, right? Especially when you... considering the cost of some of these other services out there. And this could change the landscape depending on how well they package it, what you're able to access with this free programming. Of course, you still can buy music via the service. Now, Napster is not compatible with the, directly with the iPod. But, all it really takes there is be a little bit of innovative and you can get those MP3s on any MP3 player in existence. That's just the way it works. But anyway, you can check that out over at Napster.com. All right, CNN is a little bit late to the game here, but I've gotten a couple of emails on this today, and this is a technology article within CNN.com. They picked it up off the AP, and the title of it says "Viruses Catch Up to the Mac." Now, from what I understand, is this article is a little bit late to the game in that the three vulnerabilities that were reported have already been patched by Apple. I believe they were patched in March. So this talks about some people, though, that have gotten their Macs infected with viruses. And there's been some discussion today. Even some of the very strong Mac pundits have said that, yeah, it's time that Mac users are going to have to start paying attention to what they're doing. And I know some of you are going to come back on me and say, oh, no, there's not no way this is going to happen. It's still it's still a very safe operating system. Don't get me wrong. But nothing is vulnerable, invulnerable. And I think this is the threat I've seen on PC World. I saw it on a Mac site from a guy that has always been outspoken on the Macs have been very immune to viruses. He's even saying that you have to be careful. So, and not just, to raise this red flag up and start saying the sky is falling or anything, but there has been some more attention to it. And if Mac does still increase their market share, which they probably will, I think they're going to become a large target and we'll see what happens. But there was a very interesting antidote to this, and let me see here. The SANS Institute, a computer security organization in Bethesda, Maryland, added the Mac OS X to its 2005 list of the top 20 internet vulnerabilities. Now, It was the first time the Mac had been included since the experts started compiling the list in 2000. And this week, the Sans updated the list to warn against flaws in Safari, the Mac web browser, which a group says criminals were able to attack before Apple could fix it. And I think this has already been fixed. And they also say here the number of discovered Mac vulnerabilities has grown in recent years, with 81 found last year, up from 46 in 2004 and 27 in 2003. So, you know, not that many in comparison to what the Windows users have faced and that what, you know, essentially I've lived with forever. But it is a little bit of an increase. And, but I think Apple's been pretty proactive in submitting patches and stuff. There is some concern, though, that has been discussed that maybe they need to actually start putting out a schedule on when they're going to release patches for stuff that's remaining out there and vulnerable at this point. Okay, I found new media picks of the week by our good friend Robin Good. He's got new media picks of the week. Sherwood Picnic number 50 is up, and he's got a big list here, 13 applications or 13 websites. First one up is CastPost, is a new web-based service that offers an easy way to broadcast your personal video and audio clips. Actually played around with this a little bit, pretty interesting site. Looks like it's going to be very attractive to those in the 25 and under group. If you get a chance to check it out, castpost.com. Another one is neximage.com, QAds, Bridget, Odigo, Liberty, all these strange names, Slossom, Ziggs, Numly. And I'm not even going into the full details of what all these sites do, but some very, very cool stuff here in broadcasting personal video, browser-based image editor, advertising systems, conference software, conversion of RSS feeds, some reverse auction services, voice over email, content publishing community, real-time chat, file storage services, and web-based global marketplace. So they cover some of the topics he's covered in Sherwood Picnic number 50 for the 50th state. Yes, indeed. Okay, Wired has a article out that says the ultimate guide to online video and what do you want to watch? So they've linked to some sites that have got some essentially web TV guides. And I think this is a good article. It has some good links to some good sites, so you can check that out via Wired. And of course, some of these sites you're very familiar with already, YouTube being one of them. Of course, that's one of the hottest sites on the net right now. Including talking about vodcasting and vlogging. So we'll have this up in the show notes, of course, at geeknewscentral.com. All right, ABC Today has done something truly remarkable. They have released full episode streaming video services of some of their programs, including Lost, Desperate Housewives, Alias, Commander in Chief, and they're all available online now. If you live in the U.S., they're free of charge, and this isn't some B-reel lineup of shows starving for attention. These are ABC's most popular programs, and now thanks to Disney, they have been put up online. So this is a major deal here. It really, really is, and I think this is going to be a trial. It looks to me like it's not. I think they said May 1st to June 15th, so I don't know if this is a test to see what kind of reaction they get. But if you're an ABC fan of any of those shows, then you'll want to check out the ABC site where you can get this. Of course, that'll be linked up in the show notes. All right, here's a very interesting review. And I found this over on CNET Reviews. And this is talks about a new service out there, and it's called Sales Genius. So if any of you have companies that are thinking about employing this program, or this application in, well, let me explain what it does. This is a scary and yet fascinating service which allows sales forces, let's say that I'm getting ready to do a sale, and I send a potential client an email with a link, and whatever it may be we're trying to sell, I send him two or three links to some stuff on the website. But when that person clicks on that link in the email, it looks like an ordinary website address when it is loaded, but instead it goes to a proxy server, which has got that email registered and who it's supposed to be coming from. And then essentially what it does is it tracks every page that you as a customer click through and look at. So once the customer's done looking, you get a record of where the customer has been and what they have done. And using that observed behavior, then you as the salesperson can go back and swoop in for the close. Now, I don't know about you, but it makes me a little nervous to think that someone that I'm doing business with or potentially doing business with would send me an email with a loaded URL that is going to track everything I do on their website in order to better target me as a customer. If the product doesn't stand on its own in the first place, why would I ever be doing business with a company to begin with? But this is something that salespeople are going to be using, companies are going to be using. Sales Genius, they do disclose that, and then they don't hide the URL on where it's going to. So that is probably the only behavior of this program that I approve, just because that they are, you know, that they are, they're not showing, you know, it shows up as a funny URL in the browser. Now, I do want to say that when I send out the newsletter for the Geek News Central podcast, I use a application that gives me a report back on which links have been clicked through. Now, it basically tells me how many people have clicked on a link, and it tells me how many times the newsletter was read, but it doesn't tell me on a specific person to person. It doesn't go that deep. So I guess, you know, I do use that in the newsletter, but I don't, it doesn't track people like this. And to be honest with you, I don't even use the data, because it seems like you guys, when you get those newsletters, I think the first thing you do is you open up 25 websites, because I see a huge click-through on, I think you guys just go through and click every link that's in the email, because many of the articles will receive 800-900 clicks from the emails being sent out. So, a high percentage of you are looking at those emails and clicking through to the articles. So that's good. That's what it's there for. But I just want to let you know that I am not tracking on a person-by-person basis. I'm just tracking which articles are being opened and how many times the email has been read. Okay, Drupal 4.7 has been released. After more than a year of development, they've released Drupal 4.7 to the world. And for those of you that are not familiar with Drupal, I played around with it quite a bit to run installations of it before. It is probably the ultimate CMS system. Lots of great third-party applications and modules. Large installed base, community-driven development. I love the application, but what I hate about it, it is almost impossible to skin for. It's very, very hard to find a developer that will actually design a website that will have your own unique branding around a Drupal CMS. If you go Drupal CMSs, unless the person has spent a large amount of money, or they stick out like a sore thumb. You can see them a mile away. You come to the site, you go, oh yeah, this is running Drupal, just because they all run that same kind of basic look. I hope in this release that they've made some improvements to make it easier to skin and modularize it, so that the average people out there that are trying to develop cool sites can use the application. All right, David Silfrey has State of the Blogosphere Part 2. He's got some information up on language and tagging. And remarkably, the Japanese market is making huge influx in the number of bloggers in Japan. Talks about tagging and categories, on how that is an absolute, almost straight up increase in percentage of people that are using tagging on their websites. But I'm not going to lament too much on this. I'll have it in the show notes. Okay, TechDirt has a good article. Now Sporting Leagues Think Slim Needs the Permission to Innovate. Okay, and what this is talking about is the Sling Media. For those of you that have Sling Players or Sling Boxes, it appears that the TV companies are not real happy with you being able to time shift your viewing. So HBO is indicated that they may sue. And but you know, here's the thing on this. If you have a sling box, you can set that up in your home, and then when you're on the road, you can access your media. I've got a buddy that does it all the time. He's paying for his TV, he's paying for his service, yet when he travels, he's away from home, he doesn't have access to it. So he uses the internet software to be able to watch it via the internet. Now, they've got some portable media stuff now, I'm sure, where it's causing people to have some fear. But I'm telling you, folks, they want you to pay again and again and again for this content. They don't want you to have fair use rights. So, Sling Media is probably going to be coming under attack of the media companies because they're, you know, they don't want you to have fair use of the content that you're already paying for. So, the Sling Box does not allow multiple people to connect to it. It's a one-to-one type of connection. So, you know, I'm sure there are some bars or something out there that, you know, some bar owners that might be have something running in their homes, and then they have a Sling Box in there, a bar, and they patch it through. I'm sure maybe some of that's going on, but I'm sure that is a very, very small minority. And, you know, meanwhile, they're trying to put the hammer down on regular users. Okay, got a good review in the medicast.com, and this is a contributor to the Podcaster News Network. He talks about a kid that pulled somebody out of a pool, actually a four-year-old that went under in a YMCA pool, and when he didn't resurface, he dove in and drug him out and did CPR on him till the boy was revived. He basically goes on his soapbox saying, hey, you know, if you haven't had CPR training, you need to get CPR training. And if you want some good medical information, you're going to want to check out the Medicast News at the Podcaster News Network. And a lot of great material in there, great stuff that just tidbits that may help you someday. And, of course, you can find that over at PCN at podcasternews.com. Okay, 46 minutes. I am wrapped up with content. Can't believe it. I thought I was going to go really long. I don't have no promos tonight, but I do have a stack of email here. Let me get right into that. I got an email from one of our, Norbert. He won our 50th show giveaway last year and got a flag that was flown on the USS Missouri. And he says, gentlemen, I'm planning on attending a 2000 Podcast Expo this year and hope to meet up with each of you. And he's got a dilemma. He's trying to work out his budget. And he's saying that he's asking whether he should go to the take the whole conference package, which is $199, or go the low budget route. And I guess, Norbert, I know you listen to the show. My advice to you is if you can afford it, go to the conferences. Take the conference package. You'll get a lot out of those. It'll come back to you fivefold on helping you build your show out. I think what you'll find is if you have spent the money to go up and get a hotel and to you may be disappointed just by going only to the floor and seeing the vendors. So I do recommend the conferences. And I'll be replying to a private email with you as well. Hey, I want to say thanks to Keith. He sent me an email, said, hope you're recovering okay from your surgery. And he says, thoughts and prayers are with me, or with us. And thank you so much, Keith. That is greatly appreciated. And I got a whole bunch of those types of emails from you folks. I think there was nearly, oh gosh, probably 100 of them. I didn't reply to everyone. I just couldn't. But I do want to thank everyone that had me in your thoughts on Friday. It was definitely greatly appreciated. But he says, hey, I love your show. I don't care if you run long. It's a great show. And like some of the other shows you do. Let me read this again. I love this show, and I don't care if you run long. It's a great show. And like some of the other shows, you do come be part of the family after you listen to your show for a while. That's right. And I'm glad you're part of the family here, Keith. It is great to have you part. I got an email from Davis, and he's got I'm going to put this up, and this is over on thomashawk.com, and he says, hey, I thought you might enjoy a post that I wrote on the current state of affairs for the two-horse DVD race between Blockbuster and Netflix. Last year, I wrote a post criticizing Wedbush Morgan analyst Michael Pachter for having what I felt were some extreme views on both Netflix and Blockbuster. A year later, a lot has changed, but Patcher and I still disagree about the long-term future of the DVD rental business. In this year's post, I compare Netflix and Blockbuster and why I think Netflix is in the lead. While Patcher defends Blockbuster's troubles as temporary setbacks for the company, I hope you enjoy this article. I wanted to share that with everyone. Thank you for sending me that, Davis. I'll have that link up, and this was from his website over at thomashawk.com. I got an email from Ben. He said, I noticed you made a post about your Shoutcast hosting. I'm also looking for a reputable Shoutcast hosting company, and I can't find any reviews on the internet. Did not see any user comments on your post when I checked it today. Let me see if I can find. I'll give you the company that I'm using here, Ben. I'm actually using SB Hosting Solutions. That's who I have hooked up with. He's been really great over there. Actually, created me a custom solution so that as the shows go up, he automatically regenerates the playlist. So SB Hosting Solutions is who I went with, and thanks for the feedback. As several other of you sent in links to Shoutcast hosting providers as well. And I want to thank you all for that. It just seems to, you know, I got that personal touch with this guy. And that's what counts, you know, when you have someone respond back to you and take the time. You know, I got that personal touch, and that really, really helped. Okay, got an email from another one from Mike talking about some stuff on Shoutcast. Let's see here. What else? Got one from Carl. Talking about a show. Oh, we already covered this comment in the last show. I probably missed some comments. Actually, I do have a promo here from Keith. Let me save that, and I'll play that, and then I'll get you guys. Actually, I'll play that when I blast out of here at the end today. I do want to thank everyone for sending me emails on the surgery, and I'm glad that everyone poured their hearts out to me. That was definitely appreciated. It really, from the bottom of my heart, I do want to thank all of you for that. Also, hey, it's, you know, I'm going to be home this week, so I'll be online. So if you want to Skype me, you can at Geek News Central, or call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. That's kind of when underutilized. So send your voice comments again, 619-342-7365. Keep the email comments coming to geeknews@gmail.com. And get your submissions in for the contest. And again, please, if you feel that I'm worthy, your vote for the show over at Podcast Alley is definitely appreciated. The link will be in the show notes for today. And of course, everyone that gets a newsletter will have that as well. And I think that's it. I think that's all I've got. 52 minutes. It still went long, but hey, that's what it is. It is what it is. Play this promo. And until next week, we'll see you later, folks. Aloha. Okay, on this promo, I'm going to be straight up. Keith, you need to send me the URL to your website, because this is the most interesting promo I've heard in a while, because I don't know where your podcast is at, friend, but I'll play it anyway. Here it comes.
When computers crash, who will you call? Keith and Greg, a podcast, them you can trust. Now don't get cheeky, go to Deliciously Geeky.
Okay, it's Keith and Greg, Deliciously Geeky, but I don't know what the website is. You guys can do the Google on it. All right, we'll see you on Friday. Aloha, bye-bye.